D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We are live at 5 Iron Golf in Midtown, 202 21st Avenue South. We've got a giveaway. I will tell you about it momentarily. In the meantime, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Jeff Marek, host of The Sheet on Daily Faceoff. Jeff, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. How's everything in Nashville? Must be exciting times. Who thought we'd be talking about playoffs this time of year?
Certainly I didn't. I don't think anybody did around Thanksgiving when the Predators were at the bottom of the NHL standings. But they've got a big one again tonight at Utah to wrap up their final road trip of the season. So, Jeff, let's start with the Predators GM search. You are plugged in around the league. So what is your sense of where the Predators are in their GM search, and who could emerge as the front runner for the job?
So Nashville's search is fascinating, right? Like, I find this more interesting than the Toronto GM search or the New Jersey Devils GM search, because, you know, this is a relatively new ownership group, as you well know. So this is one of those, and we've been hearing about this for a while, this is one of those nets that's cast really, really wide. Like, part of this is, of course, you know, find the next general manager of the Nashville Predators. But two, it's really giving the organization and this new owner a sort of real good snapshot of what's out there and what's available. Now, the thing about new ownership groups is, like Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, always sort of, while he doesn't make the decisions for teams, he does have a hand on the wheel and try to sort of, you know, steer teams towards certain individuals, you know, reminds owners about, you know, biographies of certain general managers, what they've done, where they've done it, et cetera. Like, I remember when the Tampa Bay Lightning, when Jeff Vinnick bought the team, he wanted to hire Lou Lamoriello, you know, legendary general manager, Stanley Cup champ, wanted to hire him to lead the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Gary sort of nudged him to this guy in Detroit who was an assistant general manager by the name of Steve Yzerman, which worked out great for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So as much as this is a GM search by the Nashville Predators for the Nashville Predators, this is Bill Haslam's first GM hire. So the net is cast wide. There's a lot of people that have done Zoom calls. There's some people that have come in for in-person meetings with the ownership group. So This one's interesting because they can go a number of different directions based on what type of team they see having in the next little while.
Jeff, when the Devils announced earlier this week that they parted ways with Tom Fitzgerald, a lot of people connected the dots between Fitzgerald and Nashville because of his time here as the first captain in franchise history. And I do want to be clear, I do not want the Predators to hire someone with any sort of affiliation to the franchise, even though Fitzgerald has not been a part of the Predators for around 25 years. I do think the Predators need an injection of fresh blood, excuse me. But let's put that to the side. How would you assess Tom Fitzgerald's tenure as Devils GM, and what would be the pros and cons of the Predators hiring him as either GM or president of hockey operations?
Great question. So it didn't end, like, let's put it this way. It didn't end well for Tom Fitzgerald. Like, you had a situation where essentially Quinn Hughes, then in Vancouver, was, you know, I don't want to say lobbying, but I mean, everybody in the NHL knew that his preferred destination one day was to play with his brothers in New Jersey. I mean, Jim Rutherford, president of hockey operations with the Vancouver Canucks, at a end of season presser, you know, said that, as a matter of fact, said, you know, one day he wants to go play with his brothers. And then all of a sudden, all of our antennas went up. And as one general manager told me, the Eastern Conference GM, if you have one of the best players in the NHL pretty much openly lobbying to come to your team, saying that he wants to come to your team, and you can't make it happen, then you have real problems. And the problems with the New Jersey Devils by the end with Tom Fitzgerald was contracts and specifically no trade clauses. Now, I know Tom Fitzgerald will dispute that, and he said that it wasn't for the no trade clauses, that they weren't able to make a deal for Quinn Hughes. But nonetheless, we all look at that structure, and it's kind of a Gordian knot. Like, that's how much the general manager handcuffed himself. Now, backing up, before that happened, Tom Fitzgerald was kind of on a run with New Jersey. You know, the New Jersey Devils were that team that we kept saying, all they need is a save, all they need is a save. If they can get a save, they can be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. They went out and got Jacob Markstrom, and for a while, that really worked. But if you follow the belief that goaltenders are voodoo, the voodoo ended up biting Tom Fitzgerald, and now that contract is kind of an albatross around the New Jersey Devils. I think the Luke Hughes situation with New Jersey, because his brother is there, and there were all signs pointing to them being able to unite all three brothers. I thought that Luke Hughes kind of got preferential treatment, and again, this one's all on Tom Fitzgerald. The contract that Luke Hughes got coming out of his entry-level deal, I firmly believe, ruffled some feathers in that room. And a lot of people in that organization look the other way at Luke Hughes' performances, whereas if someone like Simon Nemec played the same way, he would end up in the American Hockey League. But that was never a threat or a reality for someone like Luke Hughes. So it's kind of a mixed bag with Tom Fitzgerald. I look at, early on, it looked really good, taking over from Ray Sherrill, was putting together a team that was starting to win, starting to make the playoffs. The goaltending was the missing piece. And by the end, because of all the no-trade clauses with the contracts, the New Jersey Devils were frozen and couldn't really do anything to help improve their team. So I firmly believe that managers and their second shot at it learn from their mistakes and are better general managers. Look no further than Kyle Dubas with the Pittsburgh Penguins, who's done incredible things there. So I tend not to judge GMs based on their first kick at it. That's why I wouldn't put too much stock into what happened with the New Jersey Devils.
Jeff Merrick is with us. Jeff, before I hand it over to Willie, the new GM, whoever it is, has a big decision to make about the direction of this franchise. As you mentioned, it's great that the Predators have dusted themselves off and surged into the Western Conference playoff race after how poorly things were going early in the season. But your friend Elliot Freeman said to us, and I thought this was an astute observation, the birth certificates don't change, despite the fact that the Predators are playing so well. Their core players are still in their mid to upper 30s, some in their early 30s, but they're all in their 30s. So this is what I would ask you as someone who has a perspective of the entire league. How would you assess the Predators' future? And do you see a team that is close to truly competing again in the near term?
What is the only thing that is undefeated?
Father Time.
Bingo. I don't care who you are, it catches up to you. And we've seen teams make this mistake before, have a belief that even though it didn't work for other teams, it can work for us. In a lot of ways, I'm a firm believer in the old theater saying, leave the stage while they're still clapping. This is a great story for the Nashville Predators right now, and everyone's clapping. It's awesome. I'm happy for Barry Trotz. I'm happy for Andrew Burnett. Nashville, going back to day one, has always been a first-class operation at every single level. They've always been one of the easiest organizations to deal with from my little corner of the media universe. I got nothing but love and respect for the Nashville Predators. Having said all of that, don't get fooled, right? Don't get hoodwinked here. This is an aging team that even if they make the playoffs this season, I don't think anyone expects them to do any damage. This still has to be an organization that has an eye towards the future. And when this team rebuilds and reloads and redevelops, whatever you want, renovates themselves, it's going to be the Brady Martins that are leading this thing. And that's not to say that you shouldn't have veterans around. Absolutely, you should. But I don't think that the Nashville Predators should lie to themselves and believe that there's something that they're not.
Jeff Merrick is with us. Jeff, this is Willie. It's good to talk to you. It's been a little bit.
Great to hear your voice again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you mentioned Brady Martin, and I know you've been watching close, and you follow the Canadian juniors very closely here. So that's a guy that will be really critical to this transition to a younger roster for sure. So tell us what you're seeing here recently.
So I went and saw him play last Friday in London. It was he plays with Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds of the OHL. They're finishing up their first-round series against the London Knights. They dusted him in game five, and front and center, best player on the ice, full stop, last call, all of it was Brady Martin. And London played him hard. Like, London is full of like really big, strong players. Brady Martin's a big kid too. Like, he's no slouch, but I mean, they had like oak trees going at him all game long, and he fought through everything. He pushed back, he scored this, oh my God, you guys will love it. He scored this goal against the London Knights, which is pretty much the nail in the coffin. And then with his hockey stick, did the playing the violin as he skated by the London bench, serenading them as their playoffs were over. Like, there's a chip on his shoulder. He's an aggressive player. He's a skilled player. He's from a farm in St. Jacobs, Ontario. So, you know, even going into his draft year with the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, you know, he never had a gym membership, never had any more than a shooting pad in his backyard. He just, you know, played on ponds and ended up like this super elite player with Waterloo AAA in his U16 year. He's got that, like, and you guys have seen it before, there's like gym strong and then there's farm boy strong. Brady Martin's farm boy strong. Like, the grip strength is in his forearms are like Popeye. Now, the shoulder injury at the World Juniors really did set him back. Healthy now, you know, probably the most, you know, game to game in and game out, probably the most competitive player game in and game out in the entire OHL. He's pretty close to being a full-time NHL ready. You guys had a taste of Brady Martin last year. He's had another season of development and putting more weight and strength on. This is a player that, first of all, I love, one of my favorite players in the OHL. This guy is built for Smashville because he's skilled, he's tough, and from a media point of view, this kid is charming. You are going to love talking to Brady Martin, and he's got that kind of aw shucks farm boy about him too that really plays well.
Interesting stuff. Jeff Merrick talking to us. So, Jeff, let's get back to this philosophical discussion of a GM. When it's Tom Fitzgerald or a name that our listeners know, because you can go down the resume and say, here's what happened this year and that year when he was the GM, as opposed to some of these other guys we're hearing about that are assistant GMs on some really successful organizations right now. How do you try to differentiate who's a better candidate? Somebody who has had a run at it, but maybe had some ups and downs, as opposed to a guy who is the, quote, up-and-comer?
It's a great question. You know, really it comes down to feel. Like, this is like there's no way to quantify how you feel about a general manager. Like, I personally think that Bill Scott, the assistant GM of the Edmonton Oilers, should be a GM by now. You look at how many different general managers he's been with, and he sat, you know, next to some of the greats, you know, with, you know, Ken Holland and Stan Bowman. Like, he sat with some legendary figures. And that's rubbed off on him. You know, Scott White's been with the Dallas Stars, sitting at the feet of Jim Nill for a long time. Brett Peterson is, you know, now just, you know, named the GM of the national team as well, the United States national team, who's got a strong resume now, punctuated with two Stanley Cups and being there watching this team build with Bill Zito. So it's a tricky one because, to your point, you have someone who already has the experience of having two hands on the wheel. And yes, he was there. Tom Fitzgerald was when Ray Shiro was the general manager. But there's also a lot of value you place in someone who's been mentored by some of the legends in the game and how much that has rubbed off on them. And from all the names that we are hearing, and I just, you know, mentioned three of them, and there are more, you want to throw John Chayka into that mix as well, who's a really unique candidate too. It all comes down to philosophical fit. You know, Tom Fitzgerald will come in and present his vision for how he sees the next generation of the Nashville Predators. What do you want to do now? What do you want to do in 3 years? What do you want to do in 5 years? Bill Scott will do the same thing. Chychal will do the same thing. White will do the same thing. Peterson will do the same thing. And then you try to find that manager that you connect with, right? Like, I know that, you know, one of the things that you look at the Buffalo Sabres, one of the things that Terry Pegula, the owner, you know, had a hard time with because he was so busy with both his wife's health and also owning the Buffalo Bills, is he just didn't have the time to spend to get to know a new general manager. And one of the things now, more so than ever, that we keep hearing about in the NHL, other sports have talked about this forever, but hockey is always last at the trough, is managing upwards. And that's the real skill now. Everyone can manage downwards, but can you manage upwards and be in sync with your owner or your president of hockey operations? And that's tricky. And that's just going to come down to vibe, to feel, and being on the same philosophical page as the candidates that you are interviewing.
We got time for one more, Adam, or do we need to let Jeff go?
We got time for another one if Jeff does.
All right. Well, let's get Jeff's opinion on this race, because every day the last couple of weeks here, Jeff, as you mentioned, you didn't think you were gonna. It's almost like house money because the Predators were so far back. But now you've got a legit race here. We're watching the scoreboard every night. What are you looking for this last week and a half to determine the second wild card here?
Goaltending, right? When in doubt, goaltending. Yusuf Sanuna had a great game, as we just saw, against the Anaheim Ducks. Was a 43-save performance. UC Saros has, you know, been excellent. I think when you get that, because you're looking sort of, you know, chunks of games, right? Goalies do this all the time. Coaches do this more than anybody else. They look in sort of like, okay, these are the next five games and these are the points you want. Goalies do the same thing. And I think when you're looking at like this, the last few games determining a playoff spot, I think you always look to goaltending. And I think also in Nashville's favor here, since, you know, these games are going to have a playoff feel around them, it's always good to have a lot of veteran players. Like, look, I love the San Jose Sharks. They're a lot of fun, but they're really showing their age here down the stretch. And they really showed their age last night against the Edmonton Oilers, where Connor McDavid just said, you know, this is cute what you're doing here, Macklin, but, you know, we're sitting at the grown-up table here. So the advantage Nashville has, they have a lot of veteran players, but I always turn to goaltending in situations like this, and I always remember, you know, one of the great lines about goaltending from Harry Sinden, the old general manager of the Boston Bruins, and he would say, goaltending is like oxygen. I only think about it when I don't have it. Ask any coach who doesn't have goaltending down the stretch. Man, it can really suffocate everything and nullify all the good work that you're doing. So I look at these situations and I say, whoever's got the best goaltender is coming out alive here.
Jeff Merrick has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donicky is the host of The Sheet on Daily Faceoff. You can listen Monday through Friday starting at noon Central. Jeff, fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for your time. Let's do it again soon.
Pleasure is all mine. Buzz back anytime.
615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to what Jeff had to say. A lot to get into there. We'll also look ahead to tonight's matchup between the Predators and Mammoth in Salt Lake City. I also have some reservations about something that I heard earlier today as it relates to the Predators, and we'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Tee it up with us at the 5th Annual 615 Open, May 28th at Hermitage Golf Course. We are once again supporting Folds of Honor to help them fund life-changing scholarships for families of America's fallen heroes. Register now to play or sponsor at 615open.com.